Blog Talk
Good morning.
Radio.
I do that every single time. Oh. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Just Us Talks with Tisha. We are here today doing our first live Periscope video of the year, and our first live Periscope video in quite some time, actually. So I am so happy. Thank you so much for everybody who is tuning on to our show from Periscope. For those people who are trying to join on Facebook, on Twitter, thank you so much. We're still trying to figure out how to do the Facebook Live thing because I haven't done that. So honestly, I have actually been against Facebook Live, and those people who follow me and who are friends with me on my personal Facebook page know this too well, that, you know, Facebook Live has become, how can I say this? Anybody who wants to be seen makes a Facebook Live video. So you have people on Facebook Live, like, tossing their hair, like, you know, listening to music, driving down the street. I mean, you know, just random foolery. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things because you're like, did I really just get a notification that somebody is tossing their hair, right? So, yeah, I haven't enjoyed the Facebook Live thing. But I am very, very grateful for Periscope. I'm still trying to get the Facebook Live thing operable. And if we can't do it, this time, we will certainly do it for our next show. But thank you so much again for everybody tuning in. I would like to remind everybody that you are on with Just Us Talks with Tisha, and just to remind you of why our name is Just Us. And it's because when it comes to justice, it's just us. And so I truly believe in communicating with people and in representing my clients as really as if it's just us, because at the end of the day, for my office, it's always about representing the clients and making them feel like they are human beings. Because at the end of the day, what you have a lot of times in law offices is, you know, people are, you know, another check or another case. And I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be, you know, to really not be important, I guess, to the person or the company that you're doing business with. And it sucks because no one wants to give their hard-earned money and not feel like they're being listened to or responded to or whatever the case may be. So at my office, I pride myself, and anyone who works for me must have the same mentality, that you're going to treat people with dignity and with respect. And people are not just a paycheck. People are people. And when it boils down to it, after the legal case is over, guess what? That person is going to have to live with the decisions that have been made. So for those of you who may be just tuning into the show and who may not have seen any of my shows before or listen to my radio program every week, I am an attorney in Maryland. And my office is the law office of Tisha S. Tillman. We are located at 9701 Apollo Drive, Largo, Maryland, 20774, and the Suite 301. So you can follow us on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. And both of the, I guess, the extensions or whatever. So for Facebook, it's T.S. Tillman Law. And on Twitter, it's at T.S. Tillman Law. So I'm really creative that way. but today I want to talk to everybody about something that I talk about quite often on the show because, you know, as you know, I do family law, I do personal injury, and I also do criminal law. And a part of my family law practice includes divorce, child custody, prenuptial, postnuptial agreements, custody modifications, child support modifications, and things of that nature. And so I was having a conversation with my new paralegal, and you guys will get to meet her. eventually. Her name is Nikki. And I had a conversation with Nikki, and we were talking about just some of the myths that people have about family law matters. And so that got me to thinking that, hey, maybe if this is what you're hearing in terms of myths, maybe there's something to this. Maybe there are more people that need this information. And so my job is to provide this information to make sure that people know what they're dealing with in child custody cases. Specifically, I want to talk about the presumptions, right? And so what that means is, let me just give you, it's probably easier to give you an example. So a lot of people believe that when it comes to custody matters, the law is heavily skewed towards the woman. And in some cases, actually, that used to be true. And so that's what is called the presumption. That is the presumption. And in order to overcome that presumption in court, you have to present evidence to show that the presumption is not in the best interest of the child, right? And so in the state of Maryland, there is no presumption as it relates to custody. So every year since about 2004, the Maryland House has tried to put forth various bills. This particular bill is House Bill 1386, I believe. And House Bill 1386, it did not pass, but House Bill 1386 introduced for the purpose of making the presumption in custody cases in the state of Maryland that joint custody is presumed to be in the best interest of the child. And that did not pass. And Maryland is still in the majority in terms of the states that still don't have joint custody as the presumption. Specifically, let me just tell you. So about 22 of the states, including the District of Columbia, believe that joint custody of the parents having joint custody of the child is in the best interest of the child. And in order, say for instance, you have a case in one of those 22 jurisdictions that is the presumption. If that is the case, then and you want to get sole custody, then you have to prove to the court by what's called a preponderance of the evidence, which in the law is the lowest. If you can exhibit proof to the court, right, that the presumption of joint custody is not in the children's best interest or the child's best interest, then you can, you know, maybe get sole custody of the child. So how it works in Maryland is this. There are two seminal cases in Maryland that address the issues of custody. There is a case called Taylor versus Taylor, and there's another case called Montgomery County Department of Social Services versus Saunders. And those cases specifically deal with the factors, and we've gone over this before on the show, but I do think for people that are new, it's worth repeating. So there are about 14 different factors that in Maryland, those cases say that the court has to consider these factors when they are trying to determine what's in the best interest of a child. And we've gone over some of them before, the ability of the parents to communicate, and that is communicate effectively for the sake of the child, right? Because, obviously being able to have a conversation is one thing, but being able to have a conversation without calling the other person BITCH is another. Being able to have a conversation and being able to have a conversation without the police being called is another issue, right? So that's what that's about. Some of the other factors are the desires of the natural parents to share custody, right? Because sometimes you have cases where the parents hate each other so much that they will do anything to essentially tie the other parent in court forever. For example, I have a case right now, and it's really unfortunate because I've had the same client for 4 years on four different cases because her ex-husband continues to take her to court over and over again over frivolous matters. And it's really unfortunate because it costs this person money. So it's really important that the parents are able to communicate and essentially that the parents really have a desire to be mature is how I think about it. It's like, not wanting the other parent to see the child is ludicrous. And I'm just gonna you know, veer off course for a minute because I really want to talk about that. I've read a lot of different things on various social media outlets that really piss me off, to be honest, because you have situations where women are denying access of a child or children to their father because the father has a new girlfriend. Let me tell you something. That's not how any of this works. And let me get up close so that you can see my face and you can read my lips. Not how any of this works, right? You don't get to deprive a child of their right to spend time with their other parent because your feelings are hurt, right? You can't do that, right? You cannot do that because at the end of the day, guess what, Susie? It's not about you. It's about this child. And that child has a right to be reared by both parents, unless, of course, the other parent is unfit. And you don't get to determine what's unfit, because I get a lot of phone calls saying, oh, yeah, he's unfit, she's unfit. But guess what? If a court has not made that determination, you don't get to deprive that parent of access to the child. And I can tell you this, in the state of Maryland, it's really, really difficult to make it so that a parent never sees their child. I've never had a case where that happens, where a parent never sees their child. I literally had a case where a tier three registered sex offender for life. Guess what? He still got to see his kid. So you don't get to determine that the father of the child cannot see the kid because he has a new girlfriend or because he's late on child support, right? You don't get to do that because you decided to have a child with that person. And now this little person has a right. Now that they're here, they have rights too. And they have a right to be able to spend time with their father. And the father has a right to be able to spend time with their child because that is a constitutional protection that we're allowed in this country, okay? The other thing is, fathers, you don't get to deny access. If you're the custodial parent, you don't get to deny access to the mom because she has a new boyfriend. You know, and, you know, it's funny because this whole, you know, issue of Russell Wilson and Future and Sierra comes up a lot on social media, my blood boy, because, you know, you have people, and I'm not going to delve too much into my thoughts on it, but you have people that are saying she shouldn't have her child because Sierra, the singer, she has a child with her ex-boyfriend who's Future, who, a rapper, and I use that term very loosely, but so she has a child with Future, but Sierra is now, I think she's now married, but she's married to a football player, Russell Wilson. I don't follow sports, so I don't really know. I think who did he play for? The Seahawks? So Nikki tells me he plays for the Seahawks. So, you know, they're two different camps, I guess, and so there's this camp that says, Sierra is, you know, a terrible mom for allowing her child to be exposed to this new man, and she's terrible. So the reason that makes my blood boil is because it's essentially saying this woman does not have a right to move on. But I guarantee you if the roles were reversed and he had the child and the child was spending time with his new girlfriend, no one would say anything, right? And so it's this sense that somehow women are property of, you know, the man that they've had children with or the man that they've been in a relationship. Somehow now they owe this man their everything, and so they're not allowed to move on. And that's very, very, not only is it sexist, but it's very unfair. And I think a lot of times people just in everyday life behave that way. So what I'm saying is, you don't get to deny the mom access to the child and make her life hell because you don't like her new boyfriend. Because guess what? She has a right to move on as well. You know, if she's exposing the child, you know, to things that are unsafe or whatever, the people that are unsafe, then that's a separate issue. But most of the time, that's not it. Most of the time, people's complaint is, I don't like her or I don't like him. but you don't get to involve the child in adult conversations. You don't get to involve this child in a mess that you may have created with your ex relationship. Now I'm going to go back on task. So some of the other factors that the court considers when they're determining custody are the distance between the parents' homes. You know, do you live 300 miles apart? That may make joint custody a little bit difficult. You know, how is the child doing in school? Because, you know, the ability for the child to maintain their educational standards, to being able to maintain any sort of extracurricular or social activities, the court wants children to be stable. So you can't bounce a child around from place to place because that's how you want to live, right? You can be a nomad, but you don't get to do that to a child because a child has rights too, and children need to be stable in the eyes of the court. And so I know I didn't go over all of the factors, but these are some of the factors. You know, how is the health of the child? Does the child have any special health or educational needs? Because that has to be taken into consideration. Because if you have a child that one thing that's coming up quite often these days is children with autism. So if you have a child with autism, yet one of the parents has no idea, first of all, what it means, if they're denying that the child, you know, has any sort of special needs even after diagnosis, that could be problematic. Because you want to make sure that the children are exposed to and are able to receive any treatment that's necessary for any you know special circumstances that they may have. So these are just some of the factors that the court looks at. But again, I want to be very, very clear that in the state of Maryland, we again are in the majority. The state of Maryland does not hold to the other 22 states and the District of Columbia's standpoint that says joint custody is presumed to be in the best interest of the children. So instead, what Maryland does is they have the parties address these 14 different factors under the two cases that I mentioned, Taylor versus Taylor and Montgomery County Department of Social Services versus Saunders, or in short, Montgomery versus Saunders. So the court is going to go through all of these factors, and then they're going to determine what custody arrangement is in the best interest of the child. For example, the court may decide that sole custody to the mom is in the best interest of the child, and I'll delve into that in just a second. They may decide sole custody to the other parent, or they may decide that joint custody is best. But there's no presumption that either is better for the child, because at the end of the day, the court is going to look at these factors. In addition, they're going to also look at the status quo. What has been happening? Because remember I said the court wants to preserve the idea of stability. And so in doing so, they're going to look at, so what have you guys been doing for the last 5 years or whatever the case may be, and has that worked? Because if it hasn't worked, then something else must be in the best interest of the child. And we're going to look at those 14 factors to determine what that is. But it's not that joint custody is presumed. And also, here, read my lips again. It's not presumed that sole custody to the woman is in the best interest of the child, because I've had cases where the custody has gone to the father. And again, everything is a case by case basis, because you do have the court must consider those factors in determining what is best and what is in the best interest of the child. And so I want to, and I have to stop for just a second, because I told my friend Charlie Blanton that I was going to give him a shout out on the radio today. So shout out to Charlie. Charlie is a lawyer. I think he works at the Public Defender's Office. He's a lawyer in North Carolina and also a law school colleague of mine. So shout out to Charlie. So now we go back. So one of the other things that that I want to discuss is the ramifications of custody situations on a child support determination. Just got to adjust the camera a little bit. So Nikki is really great. So I just got to tell you guys. So my new paralegal, Nikki, she's absolutely fantastic. And so for the life of me, and everybody who followed me on Periscope knows that I spent forever trying to get this camera situated and figure out how to, you know, get the angles right and all that kind of stuff. And Nikki just came in 3 seconds and made it correct. So shout out to Nikki. I'm so happy that this camera works. But next time we're going to figure out how to do that Facebook Live thing. As much as I don't like it on my personal page, I am going to do it for any time. I've talked about child support before. Child support in the state of Maryland is based on money, right? We're talking about money. We're looking at tax returns. We're looking at pay statements, possibly looking at bank statements, because it's going to boil down to the gross income of the parties and the custody arrangement, right? So think about it this way. Think about it this way. If a parent has a child 200 days of the year, right, that means that that parent is taking on a greater financial responsibility with the child because they have the child so often. So, you know, they got to make sure the child gets to school. They got to make sure the child has food. They got to make sure the child has a place to live. They got to make sure the child goes to the doctor. And all of these things, all of these different expenses, not the food per se, but there, these different expenses are factored in when the court is determining child support. But remember, I said it also depends on the type of custody arrangement, because it stands to reason, like I said, that the parent who has the child the majority of the time is going to incur the majority of the burden. And therefore, what's going to happen is the other parent is going to likely have to pay child support. And child support is based on the gross income. I know, it's not fair. I don't think it's fair at all. Because gross income, of course, is the income that you receive before taxes are taken out. Court doesn't care. So it's based on your gross income, and the court is also going to look at, like, do you pay any sort of child care costs, any sort of work-related child care expenses. For instance, you may have the child in before care or aftercare while you're at work. That's all factored in. You may pay for the child's health coverage. That's factored in. Transportation back and forth. Like, say, for instance, the other parent lives 50 miles away, and the other parent has to come, you know, drive however long to come get the child, you know, that's factored in, or, you know, at least it may be factored in. You know, if there are any kind of special needs that the child has, for example, if a child has, like I stated before when I was talking about custody, if a child has, like, say, autism, right, and they have to see special doctors or special educators to help with this, and there's a copay that the parent has to incur every time, you know, the provider meets with the child, that's factored in. So you want to make sure that you talk to a lawyer before you do anything. You want to make sure that you talk to a lawyer. Because I've seen cases be dismissed because the person did not prove what they thought they were able to prove. Because the help of an attorney can really help your case. Because lawyers are presumed, at least, to know the rules of evidence, to know what's going to be admissible, to know what's going to be relevant to your case. Because, you know, you don't know how often I have people that come into my office for consultations and they say, oh, you know, Ms. Hillman, I have all this evidence and let me show you, blah, 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 blah. And I look at it and it's a stack of nothing. And by nothing, I mean nothing that I could actually use in court. So while this person may be very, very excited about having a stack of documents that they think may be evidence, none of it is admissible. And so you want to make sure that you talk to a lawyer, because presumptively, the lawyer is going to know what you need to prove your case. Because if you are in a situation where you are trying to get access to your child, meaning visitation, if you're in a situation where you're trying to get custody of your child, if there is no current custody order, you want to make sure that you give my office a call. These are the types of cases that we handle every single day of the week. Like I started out saying, our office does divorce, custody, child support, alimony, like any of those types of family law matters, in addition to criminal law and personal injury. Because you want to you want your case to be presented by someone who is really going to represent your interests. And so if you would like to call my office, you can do so. Our office number is 301-744-7996. Our website is www.tshillmanlaw.com. That's www.tshillmanlaw.com. And so before I close out, you guys know that I also talk about social events as well as political, you know, political happenings. So I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. I'm not sure how many of you feel like you're in the twilight zone. Because 2 days from now, Barack Obama will no longer be our president. And that saddens me. Tremendously. It saddens me to think about what the future of our country looks like. Because if we can have an election and allow allow someone to even become a serious presidential candidate, let alone the president-elect, who has most people in this country with hateful words and rhetoric, with lies and false narratives. And it's funny because I was on Facebook the other day, and I was reading this thread, and, you know, people have gotten to the point, and it makes me angry because, you know, the president-elect, and even those words coming off my mouth, they're just, you know, a lot. He's used hate throughout this entire election. And also, this is the first time where the idea of false news has become so mainstream, because I was on the thread and I realized that a lot of people really believe that memes that you share on Facebook are real news. So we've gotten to a place in our democracy where our president-elect is encouraging people to distrust the media. And listen, I'm not saying the media hasn't messed up sometimes, because I do believe that there is a narrative sometimes that is spread about people of color that's not correct, and that's another show. But, you know, we've gotten to a place in our democracy where we are being told that we need to distrust the news media and instead rely on Facebook memes for truth. And that's really, really a sad place. We've gotten to a place where in our democracy, where we're being told to distrust our own United States intelligence agencies over a Russian dictator. And it's hard to believe that this is where we are. But, folks, this is where we are. It's going to be a long 4 years, let's just say that, because when you have people that have been ostracized and marginalized, throughout a process, it's very, very difficult to then ask those people, those same people, to unify. But at the end of the day, I do believe in human decency. And so I want to end the show by encouraging everyone to be good to your neighbor, to be good to the person next to you, because we need one another. Because we cannot function throughout our lives without the help and the support of other people. And you may not believe that, but it's absolutely true. So be good to each other and join us next week at 10 a.m. on Just Us Talk with Tisha. Thanks so much. Have a good week.